Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Keep Moving Forward podcast with Tom O'Leary. Thank you for the feedback, for certain ideas on future podcasts. I love it. Thank you for sharing these messages with friends and family members. You can always send them to the website, www.tomoleary.org. And wow, thank you so much for those who are able to donate. It is just a tremendous blessing, and you can do that on the website as well. Well, the last couple weeks, we've been talking about keeping our guard up. We've talked about guarding our heart. We talked about guarding our mind. Today, we're going to take it one step further and guard your soul. That's today's podcast, Guard Your Soul. Jesus was asked something very important. Like, it's probably the most important scripture and words in the Bible. Maybe, you know, John 3:16 is up there for, you know, eternal salvation for sure. But this particular scripture, Mark 12, verse 30, is probably the most important passage to tell us what to do in the here and now. And so Jesus is asked, what is the most important thing a human being can do? And his answer in Mark 12, verse 30 was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So there we have it, our heart, mind, soul, strength. Remembering that when the Bible talks about heart, that's like the very spiritual core of you on the inside. It's the, it's just the very core of you. Everything flows from your heart. All the issues of life, everything you do is flowing from your heart. Your mind, very, very powerful. Your thoughts lead to attitudes. Your attitudes lead to actions. Your actions lead to a life and a destiny. So, you know, it all starts with our thoughts and how important that is. And then soul. Now, this is interesting. When you see the word soul in the Bible, it means your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it does incorporate your mind. So one more time, mind, will, emotions. So your mind, your thoughts, your will, your choices, and then emotions, your feelings. And God cares about how you feel. He wants you to feel joy. He wants you to feel peace. He wants to feel all those things versus fear or despair. And so feelings are really important to God. So how do we guard our soul? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do? And let's remember, too, that Jesus is saying, love God with all these things, your heart, your mind, your soul, and then your very strength. So let's figure this out. Well, I was combing through the Bible, and Psalm 42 is a beautiful psalm. It's very poetic. It's just really heartfelt. It goes deep. And so it was interesting because Psalm 42 talks and mentions the soul over and over and over again. So I thought, okay, let's dig deep into this and figure out how to guard our soul. So here we go. In the Old Testament, Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul for you, my God. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? I love the psalmist here. I mean, he's excited. And the illustration, like a deer just searching for water, you know, like consider it a drought. And the deer is panting for water. And that's how we're to pant for God. Thirsting for God. And then I love how the psalmist says, you know, when can I go meet with God? Good question. Well, pretty much now, anytime, any day, in the morning, at night, you can carve out that time. And so, number one about guarding our soul, number one is thirst for God. And that's found in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. So number one, thirst for God. What does that mean? Wow. Do you ever just long to be with a loved one. Like, oh, I can't wait to see him. Maybe you have a kid off to college and you haven't seen him, or maybe they're a missionary and they're, you know, in a foreign country and you can't wait to see him. Maybe a loved one that just lives out of state and you don't get to see him very often, and you got it on your calendar and you're looking forward to it. You can't wait to see them. That's how it is with God. And we got it like thirst, like we're longing to see God. We're longing to see God move. We're longing for God's very presence. That's what it really means, to thirst from God. And it does come from the inside. It does start to churn in the inside. Now, can you think of a time where you were really, 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 really thirsty? I'll never forget being in college decades ago, and decades and decades, and I had this 1966 Mustang, 289, she's really fine, and boy, oh boy, I love that car, but it would break down a lot, to be honest. And one time, I broke down on Highway 41 in Central California, if you know where that is, and I'm telling you what, it must have been like 105 degrees that day. And so I'm on the side of the road, car totally overheated, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And there's like a diner, a mile away. So I start hoofing it in 105 degrees, and I get to this old-fashioned diner. It felt like something out of, the Twilight Zone is what it felt like, like, what is this place? And I go walking in, it had this old fashioned, counter, and I try to talk, and my mouth is so dry that it's just like my tongue is sticking to the roof of my mouth. And I go, I'll take a 7-Up. But, and the gal brings a 7-Up and I chug it down. I'll go, and like an old Western guy, I slap the counter and said, I'll take another, Man, and I'm thinking, if I could thirst for God, like I wanted to thirst for that drink, right? In that moment, maybe you've had a really good workout or really, a good run or walk or whatever, and you get home and, man, I just need to put down some water or iced tea or whatever it is. And so that we got to thirst in that same way. And so that is how we are going to guard our soul. Number one, we're going to thirst for God. Now, verse 3, the psalmist says, my tears have been my food day and night. So he's in a painful situation. He's crying before God. It maybe even alludes to he's fasting, because it says his tears is his food. So he's probably praying and fasting, I would think. And then people are saying to him all day long, where is your God? Okay, so in verse 3, we got the haters. And you know how it goes. Haters are going to hate. Isn't it true? Haters are going to hate. And so there are going to be people in your life that are going to say things and, mock you or mock your God. Where's your God? Oh, you're one of those. You believe in God and, oh, you're praying for that. Well, that'll never happen. Hey, haters are going to hate. And so forget the haters. Don't even think about it. Our focus is on God. And that's where verse 4 steps in. And it says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. There we go. We have soul again. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Okay. Verse 4, he's saying, man, I remember I would worship God. I shouts of joy, shouts of praise. With other people worshiping God, the festive throng, as it says, going to the house of God. And so that's like, going to church and worshiping with other people, and how powerful that can be. Just a sense of community. But number 2 is worship God. That's how we're going to guard our soul. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, man, I remember in that place, I'd just go and I'd praise God. He'd worship God. And so that's our number 2, worship God. And I love how the psalmist says, I poured out my soul. I pour it out, all the things in my soul. Remember, mind, will, emotions. He's pouring it out before God. That's a really, really healthy thing to do. And so it's important to worship in community. But you know, there's times when you need to get in the car and take a drive by yourself and just pour your heart out, pour your soul out before God and worship Him in that place. And that's when you can shout if you're all by yourself in the car. That's a good time. Shout it out and shout praise and you'll there'll be something that's going to lift. There's going to be something that if whatever heaviness you're in, you're going to start to go, okay, God is here. He's the one. In fact, as the psalmist says, He's the mighty one. He's your deliverer. He's the one that's going to do it. And so we get to that place where we're just worshiping God. One of my most powerful encounters with God, I was at a worship service and I was just worshiping God. And I had never felt His presence ever like I did in that moment. It was overwhelming, unbelievable. And you can't fabricate that. You can't try to make it happen again. The Holy Spirit doesn't really work that way where, you try to just like a machine, try to, do it again. And no, it's a relationship and there's ebbs and flows and, desert seasons and then really watering seasons and then moments and what I like to call God moments. And boy, oh boy, I was having a God moment. Well, interesting, during that worship service, there was kind of a crazy wacko guy and he started going through and saying, okay, you don't have to worship God. Don't do that. Don't worship God. It was the weirdest thing. Like, what is this guy doing? Here we are in a church and he's trying to stop people from worshiping God. It was the weirdest thing. And how I know that I was encountering God was all of a sudden I had so much love for this individual. I didn't know him from Adam. I didn't know who he was, but I knew he was off and he was broken. And instead of being angry and mad that this guy is robbing me of my God moment, I had this unbelievable, unconditional love and compassion for this guy. I must have been in the presence of God because that's not Tom O'Leary. My flesh would have wanted to punch him in the nose. And well, not literally, but metaphorically. And yet, all of a sudden, I've got the love of God for him. Unbelievable. And so, I'm telling you what, worshiping God, it's just the game changer. So that's number two, worship God. Okay, let's go to number three. That's found in verse 5. Verse 5 says, why my soul, there we go, we got soul again. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Okay, here in verse 5 of Psalm 42, the psalmist, I love it. He's like talking to his own soul. Why are you so downcast, my soul? It's like he's looking down at his soul and go, talking to it. And why so disturbed within me? And then he gives the answer. Put your hope in God. Okay, that's a simple one. Number three, hope in God. Hope in God. And there are times, like the psalmist, you got to do a little self-talk and not negative talk. Too many of us beat ourselves up. We keep digging into the pit of shame and we keep digging deeper and we tell ourselves how crummy we are. You got to stop that, okay? In the words of psychologist Bob Newhart, stop it. Don't do that anymore. Stop it. And you got to give positive talk. And part of positive talk is what God says. What does He say about you? Well, He says you're the apple of His eye. He says that you're His son or daughter and He loves you unconditionally and eternally. That's, you got to go there. And then all of a sudden, you're not only worshiping God, but you're actually putting your hope in God. It's coming to that place where you can look in the mirror and just go there with God and be able to say, God, you're all I got, but God, you're all I need. Whew, that's when you've landed and you know that you're putting your hope in God. Hope is so powerful for human beings, frail, mortal human beings like you and me, and we do real good, and then we make a mistake, and then we do a little better, and then we have a setback, and you know, and I'm telling you what, we've got to have our hope in God. There was this study done, and they were studying people who survived World War II Nazi concentration camps. And after they did all this research, they came up with one common denominator for those who were able to survive the Nazi concentration camp. And that one common denominator was, in fact, hope. H-O-P-E, hope. If they had hope, they were looking towards something. They were looking and believing they would get back home. They were believing and hoping and seeing that they'd be with their family again. They were hoping in God and His deliverance. If they had hope, they made it. Well, there you go. You and I have to have hope so that we can make it. And according to Psalm 42, it's part, I believe, of guarding your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Hope affects your emotions big time in a good, positive way. So we got to stir that and have that incredible hope. Okay, let's go to number four. I'm going to give you five today of guarding your soul. And our number four here is found in verse 6 of Psalm 42. It says, my soul, okay, we got it again, soul, is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Oh, let's just pause on that and take that in for a second. That's number four. Remember God. Just remember. Remember who He is. Remember His character. Remember His attributes. Remember His faithfulness. Remember answered prayers. Where, you know, I don't know about you. I tend to forget where I have to remind myself, wait a second, He answered that prayer and He answered that one and that one and that one and that one, you know, and it's so important that it's important many times to write down what God has done. So when you're going through a dark season, when you're going through a season where you feel lost or a desert season where you're not feeling God and all those things, you can go back to your journal and go, oh, wait a second. I remember now God did this and He did that. Oh, yeah, right. What was I thinking? And it's all coming back to remember what God did. You know, Sherry and I, we were praying about something the other day, my wife Sherry, and we had to stop and go, wait a second. Remember when God answered that prayer? Oh, man, do you remember when, man, this was so critical and important, and God stepped in and He did it. And if He did it then, wow, He's going to do it again. We literally had to kind of remind each other to remember. So that's really important. And, you know, I would encourage you to do that with a loved one, a friend who's a believer, and remind each other what God has done in your lives. Because as, you know, as a human being, sometimes we get alone. And it's kind of hard to remind ourselves, even though that's what the psalmist is modeling right now. So we, you know, let's try to do that. But I think what could really get it going is if you had a prayer partner and you reminded them of God's faithfulness and say, remember we prayed for that and that happened in your life. And then that person can talk to you and speak into your life. That is a very, very powerful way to go about it. And that will, you'll remember God's faithfulness. And that's part of guarding your soul. Remember, our soul is our mind, our thoughts, our will, our choices, and then certainly our emotions, our feelings. And so remembering what God has done, that affects our thoughts, that affects our choices, that affects our feelings. So it's really, really, really important. And that got us to the finish line. Last one. Here we go on the Keep Moving Forward podcast. It's a podcast all about persevering, keep moving forward, living a life of perseverance, overcoming the obstacles. That's what we're about. And so we're going to land here on verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 42. And this one I love. It's just so powerful. It says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls,
All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Verse 8, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Number 5, feel God's love. I want to encourage you to go there, to really feel how much God loves you. It says like waves, and it's talking like waves of love over and over, the breakers, you know, like the ocean just never stops, right? The waves just come and they over again, and it's his waves of love that he wants to sweep over you. It says as deep calls to deep, like when you go deep, God will meet you there. And you'll hear the call of God and the deep things that he wants to communicate to you and bring before you. It says that by day, he directs us with his love. Isn't that wonderful? It's kind of like when the Israelites were being, you know, they're following a cloud by day and a fire by night. And it says, you know, his song is with me in the nighttime. And this is a prayer to the God of my life. It's just a beautiful, beautiful passage. Psalm 42, verse 7 and 8. And it's all about his love. And you get those waves of love. You understand all of a sudden he loves me. I'll never forget a buddy of mine who was a missionary in Amsterdam. And he was talking to a guy on the street. And he was trying to explain the gospel and trying to explain the good news and trying to explain Jesus and trying to explain that he had this Father in heaven that loved him. And somehow, some way, by the Holy Spirit, the guy all of a sudden got the understanding, or what you might say a revelation, of God's love. And this guy on the street's like, he loves me? He loves me? He loves me? He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And all of a sudden he shout, like it built from a question that he loved me to a shout of confidence of knowing he loves me. And that's how God feels about you. He loves you so much. You've heard me say this before, and I mean it with every fiber of my being. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Oh, he's crazy about you. He's crazy, crazy in love with you. He loves you so much. And he wants to just pour into you and transform your heart and your mind and your soul. And it will just be so aligned with his word and his will. And you're going to be just feeling that joy, like you're walking with God. And that's where we want to land. That's where we want to persevere to. That's why we got to keep moving forward. So let me recap, my friends, on how to guard your soul. Remember, Jesus said in Mark 12:30, the most important thing you can do is love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, check, 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 check. And then, out of Psalm 42, we're going to keep it real simple here. 5 things on how to guard your soul. Number 1, thirst for God. Get thirsty for him. Number 2, worship God. His presence can be the game changer. Number 3, very important, hope. Hope in God. Number 4, remember God. Remember his faithfulness. Remember what he's done. He did it before. He's going to do it again. Okay, remember. And lastly, number 5, feel God's love. And I believe if you do those 5 things, man, you're going to be guarding your soul. And it's going to be refreshed. It'll be refreshing to the inner person of who you really are. It's going to be refreshing to your mind and empowering your will and blessing your emotions, your emotional health. God loves you so much. He wants you to be emotionally healthy. So let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you so much for each person listening to this podcast. I pray, God, that you would meet with them right now, that you would encourage them right now, that you would stir within them that thirst, that worship, that hope, remembering you and your faithfulness. And God, in this place, would you just speak your love to them, and would they feel your love for them? Let your warmth of your Holy Spirit just sweep over them, encouraging them,
strengthening them, getting their feet set on solid rock, blessing them, I pray. So God, just put your hand of favor on them and remind them one more time that you're not mad at them. You're mad about them. You're crazy about them. You love them so much. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, we did it. I'm so encouraged. If you know someone who needs this message, pass it on to them. You can send them to the website, tomoleary.org, TOMOLEARY. And if you're able to donate, there's a give button there on the website. I'd be so grateful. Thank you so much. And keep moving forward. And remember, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I'm for you. God bless.